नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञान्तिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। अददानस्त्रणं दन्तैरिदं याचे पुनः पुनः श्रीमद्रूपपदाम्भोजौ धुलिः स्यां जन्मजन्मनि। नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानाम पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरून् दीनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरम्। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। थैंक यू वेरी मच फॉर कमिंग। बिफोर वी स्टार्ट गोइंग थ्रू दी ऑलराइट वी रिसाइट द श्लोक एंड देन टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 10 नेम्ड बैटल बिटवीन द डेमिगॉड्स एंड वृत्रासुर टेक्स्ट 7 एंड 8 सॉरी नॉट दैट Yeah, text 7 and 8. So the 8th is on the board. So I'll be reading the 7th one and then we'll go to the 8th. Shri Rishir Uvacha Dharmam Vaha Shrotu Kamena Yuyam Me Pratyudahrutaha Eshavaha Priyam Atmanam Tyajantam Santyajamyaham. Translation. The great sage Dadichi said, just to hear from you about religious principles, I refuse to offer my body at your request. Now, although my body is extremely dear to me, I must give it up for your better purposes, since I know that it will leave me today or tomorrow. Now, text 8. Please repeat after me. Yo adhruvedatmana natha. न धर्मं न यशः पुमान् इहेत भूतदयया सशोच्यः स्थावरैरपि यो अध्रुवेणात्मनात्मनाथ न धर्मं न यशः पुमान् इहेत भूतदयया सशोच्यः स्थावरैरपि यो अध्रुवेणात्मना नाथा न धर्मं न यशः पुमान् इहेत भूत दयया सशोच्यः स्थावरैरपि. Mothers, mothers. Before I go into the nectar, or as Prabhupada says, the ecstasies, Prabhupada's loving ecstasies, which he has given in his purport, I would just try to narrate something which is my useless ecstasy, which I had yesterday after going through this purport. I went through this purport, and a few days back or a month back, I had gone through another lecture, similar kind of lecture, which is the purport, which we are going to read. When I was going through that lecture, it just occurred to me, and it's a little poetic. I'll try to, my English is not so good, but I'll try to be a little poetic. I just thought, and yesterday also, suddenly this upsurge of enthusiasm came, that salutations to thee, Srila Prabhupada, that you came in my life and saved me from the wilderness of city life, which I was really in trouble, and I was searching for a purpose of my life. What is my purpose? And I went through so many ashramas, so many different treatises, spiritual treatises written by different people. Quite a few, at least 3-4 I went through quite nicely. But I was totally confused. And at the end I was frustrated as to what is the goal of life and why I have to live. And ultimately I came to the point of atheism. My heart was not accepting to be an atheist, but I was an atheist. And at that time, Srila Prabhupada's devotees came in my life and they guided me to Prabhupada's purports, his lectures and other things. And then it saved my life. It really saved my life. And similar thing was there in one conversation, and I related with that. In that conversation, one of the devotees was thanking Prabhupada. He said, "Prabhupada, thank you so much. Most of us," this is Prabhupada's disciple, was speaking to Prabhupada, and he said, "Most of us who came to your shelter, we were on the verge of committing suicide." He said, "I was on the verge of committing suicide." And I don't have a personal experience of Western lifestyle, but from Prabhupada's lectures and conversations, I gathered that there are towers there. In those times at least, in 70s, there were towers, big towers from which people used to jump and commit suicide. Young boys used to commit suicide, young boys, girls. So they had barricading on the towers. And down below they had some kind of a chadar, a plastic chadar on which somebody falls and he won't die. So that kind of horrible situation is there in the current modern civilization. It just confuses us. And it's fast coming in India. People are getting totally confused. So Prabhupada's ecstasies in his loving purports are so soothing. And each and every purport and translation is so fantastic. And similarly, this one, I'll be focusing in my presentation, preaching and the pitfalls in preaching. Everyone wants to preach. We want to become a preacher. But what are the pitfalls in preaching and what it takes to become a real preacher? That's what I'll try to delve on. So I'll go through this. Please hear it carefully. It's so such an amazing. Prabhupada was a born. He was sent by Krishna to preach. Like Prahlad Maharaj says in the 10th chapter, beginning of 10th chapter, 7th canto, 10th chapter, he says, Lord, you sent me here. One of the shlokas he says, you sent me here to set an example of a Paramahamsa devotee. Similarly, Prabhupada was sent, it's very clear, and from his purports, his enthusiasm for preaching is very clear. So, we'll go through word-to-word translation. Yaha, anyone who, Adhruvena, impermanent, Atmana, by the body, Nathaha, O Lords, Na, not, Dharmam, religious principles, Na, not, Yashaha, fame, Puman, a person, Iheta, endeavors for, Bhuta Dayaya, by mercy for the living beings. Saha, that person. Shochyaha, pitiable. Sthavarahi, by the immobile creatures. Api, even. Translation and purport. O demigods, one who has no compassion for humanity in its suffering and does not sacrifice his impermanent body for the higher causes of religious principles or eternal glory is certainly pitied even by the immovable beings. Heavy. I'll just go through this again. O demigods, this Dadichi Muni is telling to the demigods who approached him to ask him that you die so that we get your bones, so that we can create a thunderbolt by which Vritrasura will be killed. And this Lord Vishnu himself had guided them. So they approached him. And see Dadichi what he is saying. O demigods, he is telling to mainly Indra, one who has no compassion for the humanity in its suffering and does not sacrifice his impermanent body for the higher causes of religious principles or eternal glory is certainly pitied even by the immovable beings. A Prabhupada's purport. In this regard, a very exalted example was set by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Concerning Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam 11:534, Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. Translation of this shloka. Quote, we offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of the Lord, upon whom one should always meditate. He left his householder life. Now this is very interesting. Prabhupada in that lecture which I was referring to, in that he focuses on this. He left his householder life, leaving aside his eternal consort, whom even the denizens of heaven adored. He went into the forest to deliver the fallen souls who are put into illusion by material energy. Unquote. To accept sannyas means to commit civil suicide. But sannyas is compulsory. At least for every Brahman, every first-class human being. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a very young and beautiful wife and a very affectionate mother. Indeed, the affectionate dealings of his family members were so pleasing that even the demigods could not expect such happiness at home. Nevertheless, for the deliverance of the fallen souls of the world, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and left home when he was only 24 years old. He lived a very strict life as a sannyasi, refusing all bodily comforts. Similarly, his disciples, the six Goswamis, were ministers who held exalted positions in society. But they also left everything to join the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Nivas Acharya says, Tyaktva turnam ashesha mandalapati shrenim sadatu chavad bhutvadina ganesha kau karunaya Kaupina Kanthashritau. These Goswamis left their very comfortable lives as ministers, zamindars and learned scholars and joined Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement just to show mercy to the fallen souls of the world. Deen Ganesh Karunaya. Accepting very humble lives as mendicants, wearing no more than loincloths and torn quills, Kaupin Kantha, they lived in Vrindavan and followed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order to excavate Vrindavan's lost glories. Similarly, now this is call for action for all of us. Similarly, everyone else with a materially comfortable condition in this world should join the Krishna consciousness movement to elevate the fallen souls. The words Bhuta Dayaya, Mahamrugam Daita Yipsitam and Deena Ganesh Kau Karunaya all convey the same sense. These are very significant words for those interested in elevating human society to a proper understanding of life. One should join the Krishna consciousness movement following the examples of such great personalities as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis, and before them, the great sage Dadichi. Instead of wasting one's life for temporary bodily comforts, one should always be prepared to give up one's life for better causes. After all, the body will be destroyed. Therefore, one should sacrifice it for the glory of distributing religious principles throughout the world. Last two sentences I'll read again. Instead of wasting one's life for temporary bodily comforts, one should always be prepared to give up one's life for better causes. After all, the body will be destroyed. Therefore, one should sacrifice it for the glory of distributing religious principles throughout the world. So this is heavy call for action for all of us, that we have to give up everything and dedicate ourselves completely to Krishna's service. Now, a few days back I was on 1973 lectures. So in one lecture, Prabhupada had the same theme. And this is purport there, he was spontaneously speaking. And he said, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at the age of 24, when he was at the prime of his youth, he left everything. For what purpose? For us. He left his comfortable life, he left his wife, everything to deliver us. If he would not have left, then what would have happened to us? So at that time, Prabhupada choked a little bit. And Prabhupada said, why you people? That time some of the devotees were giving up their vows and going back to Maya's entanglement. So Prabhupada was very sad and Prabhupada said, why can't you just sacrifice a little comfort of this life and follow the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had no purpose of even coming down over here, when he could take so much austerity, and we all know Anta Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, what kind of austerity Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went through. He did not even use any mat. That was also forcibly given to him by Jagadanand Pandit. That please, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, use it. So Prabhupada said that, can't you give up little comfort and dedicate this life? Why are you breaking your vows? Why are you giving up your vows? So this is very, very important thing, because it becomes very cheap over a period of time. Especially in India, it has become very cheap. The saffron cloth has become extremely cheap. People take it, people take it down. It's like, yeah, come on, what's the big deal in that? I have what's the saffron cloth and I didn't like it, so I gave it up. So it's a common practice. One time I was giving a class in Namatta office, and some people were sitting. After the session, some policemen were sitting. And they came up to me and they said, Swamiji, are you married? I was laughing. I said, come on, in this dress nobody marries. So he said, no, what's the problem? You can marry a girl with that kind of dress. I had a hearty laugh. I said, and I was also angry, that what is the condition of even India? People don't understand what is saffron. It's a very grave responsibility. It's not just a change of color. Prabhupada writes in Narad Muni section that in those days, in olden days, when people used to go, they used to go to north. And when they will go, they will ask their family members that burn my means burn me, burn me, means think that I'm dead, I'm gone. Because either I'll, if I don't have faith on Krishna, then either I'll be eaten by some wild animal, or I'll attain moksha, or back home, back to Godhead. So in either cases, I'm not coming back. So this is a very grave step. When we take this step, it's not to go back. Of course, there could be mishaps. Like Lord Krishna says, apiche sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhag sadureva samantavya. There could be mishaps. There could be accidents. Accidental mistakes. That's okay. But that doesn't mean one just takes it so lightly. It becomes too light. In Kumbh Mela, how many of you visited Kumbh Mela? One time I went to Kumbh Mela, and Kumbh Mela people are so crazy. So you will find all kinds of sadhus there. One sadhu and sadhvi were there. Both were in saffron, giving lecture. That was my first experience out of home and into such wilderness of sadhus. I saw both sadhu and sadhvi are there, husband, wife, and both are in saffron. And that's a joke. At least we have to understand the gravity of it. And Prabhupada really wants us not to go back. It may be troublesome. Life in Krishna consciousness itself, whether grihastha ashram or brahmacharya ashram, is troublesome. We have to say no to so many things. Yes, but for a higher purpose. And that's what it says. The shloka says, O demigods, one who has no compassion for humanity in its suffering and does not sacrifice his impermanent body for the higher causes of religious principles or eternal glory is certainly pitied even by the immovable beings. Even by the immovable, this is a heavy criticism or heavy chastisement or warning that you, if we waste our this life, especially after coming this long, by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we have come so long, we have taken initiation, we are into the, especially brahmacharis and sannyasis, we are into the movement completely. And if we miss out, then even the immovable living entities, like trees and all, they will laugh at us. And similar kind of thing comes in the 11th canto, where it says that a person who has got millions of dollars, and if he doesn't use it for the proper purpose, at least he should use it for sense gratification. There it says, somebody, like people are so miserly that they won't even use it for sense gratification. That shloka says, if one doesn't use his money for sense gratification, for his relatives, or for moksha, then what's the use of his life? Like that heavy it is. What's the use of his life? He just came in this world and went. Like sabji. Like bangan. His name is bangan, means begun. Means it has no qualities. That's what bengan itself, begun, that it has no quality. Be means not, and gun means no qualities. So no qualities. So a bengan is born and it's kept in the shelf. If somebody doesn't eat, then it just rots there. Similarly, a human being, if he doesn't work for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's missionary purposes, then he has, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, yeluar geluar. Just comes in this world and goes like a bengan. Just remains in the shell, goes on his life, rots, and then at the end he is burnt. So it's a very interesting thing. Means it's a call for action by Srila Prabhupada that we have to rise to this call of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shri Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Nityanand Ram ki jai. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Bhagwan ki jai. Shri Shri Gaur Radha Shyam Sundar Lalita Vishakha ki jai. So here it says, Yatyaktva Turnam Ashesha Mandalapati Shrenim Sadat Uchhavat. This is a very nice contemplation. Prabhupada, when he presents Krishna conscious philosophy, he doesn't present it dogmatically. That you have to do it. You have to leave your home. You have to sacrifice everything. Prabhupada's presentation is so down-to-earth, practical, lucid. It's so clear. It's so practical, and it's very pragmatic. Pragmatic is practical. It's very logical. When Prabhupada explains this, Tyaktva Turnam Ashesha Mandalapati, elsewhere, the Prabhupada says that what's the big deal in giving up these things, these material comforts? It's not a big deal. Only one requirement is there, that one should take his death very seriously. Prabhupada says, that if one takes one's death seriously, one will become very, very serious in spiritual life. That's the key to becoming serious in spiritual life. Prabhupada says, we should always remember that my death is inevitable. It is coming at any moment. Then immediately we'll be very, very focused. And there's a beautiful example for this. You'll really like this example. Prabhupada says, that supposing today we are in a prison house and a judgment is passed that tomorrow you are going to be hanged. Okay. Tomorrow we are going to be hanged. It's a clear-cut case that we are going to be hanged. Now we are sure about it. Now Prabhupada says, now if you are given the most beautiful lady to gratify your senses, will you be able to gratify? Now it's a little difficult to get into that mood. But once we get into that mood, my death is there. I won't even feel hungry. Leave aside death, my experience of my exam times. If I haven't studied and tomorrow is my mathematics examination and I haven't studied, today I won't feel hungry also. My mother will run after me. Take food, no hunger, no appetite at all. What to think about any other sense gratification, even hunger is not there. Just for exam. And what to talk about death. So giving up these things, tyaktva turnam ashesha mandalpati, Prabhupada says, for these Goswamis was not difficult. They were so focused on death, the inevitability of death, that this body did not attract them at all. This world was seen as a phantasmagoria. Just a short time span. Like Prabhupada says, there is a window open in our eternal life. And in this window we see. And we take it so seriously. This lifespan we take so seriously. We do everything for that purpose. And the example Prabhupada says that we open the window of our room and we see a car passing. And when the car passes through our window, we say the car is born here and dead here. That's not true. It's foolishness. Car was existent before. Then it came in our spotlight and then it went. It is still existent. Or the second example Prabhupada gives, in old times, people used to think, now sun is born, today morning sun is born, and evening sun dies. And then tomorrow again sun is born. That was the thought some 500, 600 years back. People were thinking sun is born, when it comes in their focus, sun is born. And when it dies, and then it dies. That's childish, isn't it? Sun is not born, sun comes in our vision. Similarly, we have an eternal life, eternal existence. And this is a short lifespan which we take so very seriously. And we leave aside our eternal life. And that's why it becomes very difficult. That is the reason. That is the only reason Krishna consciousness becomes very difficult. To take up austerities of Krishna consciousness, the four regulatory principles, becomes very difficult. That our mind says that, oh, come on, this is life. And unfortunately, sadly, in the modern civilization, we are told like that. That this is life and that's it. There was nothing before, there's nothing after. Bhasmi bhutasya dehasya kutaha punaragamo bhavet. That once this body is burned to ashes, then who has seen? Next life is there. And people don't give the knowledge from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. That is the unfortunate situation. Otherwise, Prabhupada says, it's so easy to become sincere in Krishna consciousness. Once we have to remember that death is coming. Now, my main part, preaching. Now, a preacher, the qualification of a preacher, Prabhupada says, preacher is not a person who just learns some Sanskrit or some good English or good Hindi and then speaks up. Many of Prabhupada's disciples have told that when Prabhupada came, Prabhupada's English was fine, but Prabhupada's accent was such that they could not understand what Prabhupada was saying. But they had faith, one faith, that this guy, this person has compassion in his heart. He is our actual well-wisher. They say that, Prabhupada's disciples tell that in those times, in America, it was a thought in youngsters that anybody above 30, we don't trust. And Prabhupada was there above 70. And they gave their life for him. The reason? Not that they understood philosophy. When Prabhupada said, start Jagannath Rath Yatra, I don't know who was saying. Somebody was saying that when Prabhupada asked them to start Jagannath Yatra Yatra, they said, we didn't have faith on Jagannath, whether Jagannath exists or not. We had faith that whatever this person is saying is correct. And the reason why Prabhupada had that kind of an effect on other people, it was told by his godbrother, when Prabhupada was chanting in Radha Dama, staying in Radha Damodar, his godbrother, what's his name? Babaji, Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji? Right? Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, he commented when Prabhupada took sannyas, that Abhay Babu will preach very nicely. Why? Because he has implicit faith on the holy names of Krishna. Yes, Prabhupada says, one should have stark determination that I want to go back home, back to Godhead, before the next death. Means my ticket should be booked. And that kind of determination Prabhupada had. And that determination, that conviction, gave conviction in the heart, instilled conviction in the heart of his listeners. Prabhupada did not impress them by Panditya. Panditya, if Prabhupada would have shown his Panditya, his scholarship, then people would have become envious of him. Of course, many people became envious of him. People become envious without any reason. But people surrendered because of his that attitude of total, unflinching, like Prabhupada said, unflinching, undeviating surrender to the lotus feet of his guru. And to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he propagated just for the sake of propagation of this mission. Prabhupada said, I did everything. So this is the key. Who will become a good preacher? One who has faith, total faith, that I am going to die at any moment. So he becomes very serious in devotional service. He doesn't run after name, fame, prestige, shukrai, ravishtha, hog stool. Doesn't have to do anything with that. Second, one who has, because of that, second thing will happen. Okay, come on, I have to get a rescue. So what is that? Enechi aushadi maya nashi baro lagi. Hari nama maha mantra lao tumi magi. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that to get rid of this janma mrityu jara vyadi, I have brought enechi aushadi maya. This, the medicine for this, bhav rog, is hari nama maha mantra lao tumi magi. So you beg, you fall at the lotus feet of these great acharyas and beg for their mercy that let me have a little, a pinch of faith on the holy names. Automatically, once one has death consciousness, one will have this. Of course, this consciousness, fear of death doesn't mean, all the time, complete paralysis. One should have knowledge, with knowledge, that death is anyways going to come. Let's take it in my stride and let's work for it. So these two things will make a good preacher. And now what are the pitfalls? At the start I said, there are big pitfalls in this. The major pitfall is, one wants to become a preacher, as soon as we come, as a neophyte, we come into ISKCON, we want to become Prabhupada, don't mind it, but we want to become Prabhupada. Without saying it, we want that kind of name, fame, prestige. We get attracted by the name, fame, prestige which Prabhupada had. We don't see what it took Prabhupada to have that name, fame, prestige. And what it took to Prabhupada to have that name, fame, prestige, Prabhupada himself said. Prabhupada was asked many times, you might have heard, if Prabhupada's lectures you have heard. In many interviews, many reporters asked Prabhupada, why did you not come before to the West? What were you doing in India? And in one of the interviews, Prabhupada gives a very remarkable answer, which is the answer to that. What it took Prabhupada to become that. Of course, it was out of Prabhupada's humility. Prabhupada said, this is Krishna consciousness. This is science. For any science, to become a teacher of that science, one has to learn that science. Of course, Prabhupada didn't have to learn. Prabhupada was a born devotee. But for any science, to become a teacher, expert teacher, one has to learn it. So one has to prepare for it. So I was preparing in India. Amazing thing. And it's remarkable that in Leelamrut, this out of six volumes, the first volume, which is preparation of Prabhupada, that is 40 years. The first volume is 40 years. And next 10 volumes, next 5 volumes are this thick. And that's only 10 years. First 40 years of his preparation is That made what we get attracted as a neophyte, what we get attracted to that next five volumes. Actually, we should get attracted. As we develop in Krishna consciousness, we will start getting attracted to that first volume. To become a Nobel laureate, one has to work very hard in his laboratory. Not just jump up, I'll become a big preacher, like a cricketer does or a sportsman does. He takes a wicket and says, "Hori bo," or whatever. How's that? This is not the mood of a preacher. If one has gone through hard work in purifying his heart, then one will be naturally humble. Example is very clear. Prabhupada gives this example many times. There are some rich people who have toiled to become rich. They have really worked hard to become rich. And when they become rich, they remain very simple. Same kind of clothes, very simple. That talking is also simple. They are not showing off or anything. But the children who get the heritage, they just spoil it. And Prabhupada says, you all hippies, you all Americans are like that. You got the inheritance and you are just spoiling it away. You don't value it. Similarly, when we get it, we have got ISKCON, comfortable place. We are living comfortably. Now to say, Prabhupada, this purport doesn't touch us. We have cooler, we have AC, we have time to time prasadam, everything is there. We left home and we are in a home. Prabhupada made a house in which everyone can live. But this is also compassion of Prabhupada. Amazing compassion. One of 1976, one conversation, Prabhupada says that now this is, temples are there, you have farm community, you just live peacefully. My only desire is, see Prabhupada's compassion. Prabhupada gave so much, he worked so hard, and he doesn't want anything from us. He says that my only desire is that all this situation, such a comfortable situation is there, you live comfortably. Eat nicely, but chant Hare Krishna as much as possible. That's why I have made this oasis in this material world, so that you can live comfortably. We don't have to work that hard. Prabhupada says, we don't have to work that hard, what Prabhupada, we don't have to, one time in Vrindavan only, this Kartik, I heard this past time from Shudkirti Prabhu. Prabhupada was going for a morning walk, and Prabhupada was walking this way, Kedia land, and Shudkirti Prabhu came running after him. Actually, he kept his chappal, one chappal here, one chappal there. Like we have experience, you leave one chappal at one, or both the chappal at one place, appear at one place, then it will be taken away. So he left like that. But out of humility or to just impress, he said, I wanted to impress Prabhupada. When he was walking behind Prabhupada, Prabhupada asked him, so, why you are not wearing chappal? He said, Prabhupada, it's Vrindavan. That was not the real reason. He said, Prabhupada, this is Vrindavan. Why should one wear chappal? Prabhupada's answer was remarkable. Prabhupada said, already in life, there are a lot of austerities. Krishna has given austerities. There are difficulties. Don't create difficulties for yourself. Live easy, but chant Hare Krishna nicely. There you put enthusiasm. Take austerity there to chant Hare Krishna. Chant more, study more. That will purify your heart. These kind of austerities won't purify our heart. They may make our heart more congested. We may become more proud. So this is first pitfall. Or two pitfalls. One is, we get attracted by the externals, what Prabhupada gave us, the name, fame, prestige, which comes after becoming a preacher. That's a pitfall. We go into Maya. Second is that we create austerities for our own self, unnecessary austerities. And over a period of time, we get fried out. And then we say, bas baba. Most of the time, we create unnecessary austerity, which is not required. Prabhupada writes in the fourth chapter, I think, Bhagavad Gita, fourth chapter, Krishna's system is so nice that in this life, you live comfortably, chant Hare Krishna, and at the end, you give up your body and go back home, back to God, and live comfortably there. Now, whatever practice we do here, we'll be adapted for that practice, and at the end of our life, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tejan tante kalevaram, we'll have that thought.
If we are having that kind of austerity mood, then we'll have that thought at the time of death. And that is not the qualification to go back home, back to Godhead. We have all seen the picture of Nand Maharaj. Right? He's a real chubby fellow. Real fat, mast. And Yashoda Mai. And all the gopas, gopis in Golok Vrindavan, they are really very healthy. Some are real fat, Madhu Mangal kind of people. So we have to practice that life. We have to glorify the Supreme Lord with ananda. We have to have pleasure in our heart and glorify. Of course, here it's so difficult. We have to, because our mind speaks a lot. We have to, dushtamana tumi kisera vaishnava, we have to chastise our mind. That's why it becomes a little difficult here. We have to be a little austere here. But we should not have the tendency, the second pitfall, of taking unnecessary austerity, which will create trouble for us. Krishna consciousness will become very, very troublesome and we'll give it up. And the third pitfall in becoming a preacher is a very, 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 very dangerous pitfall. And Prabhupada warns against this so many times, especially those lectures which he gave in Vrindavan. Many times devotees came from the West and they had the tendency, and we all have that tendency to some extent or the other, which is called hunting for the nectar. We want to hunt for nectar. As if Bhagavatam doesn't have nectar. We want stories. See, philosophy is very difficult. Philosophy, it becomes like... So we want lightheartedness. And we all have a habit of seeing movies. Entertainment. Okay, see the movie, the story, read novel, light novels. When we come here, Bhagavatam doesn't tell any stories. And especially our acharyas, Srila Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, all the acharyas, they don't dwell in stories at all. Like you will remember the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in one of the purport, Prabhupada says, there was a, Prabhupada didn't go, Dronacharya, when Dronacharya was mentioned, Prabhupada didn't go into what was the enmity, the whole story between Dronacharya and, what? Drupad. Prabhupada didn't go, Prabhupada said, there was enmity between them, and because of that, there was war. Prabhupada didn't go into the story. Now what happens, I've seen in devotees, you might have also seen, that they search for that story. And they download Mahabharata. And they go through Mahabharata, or go run to Lohi Bazaar. Or go out for Bhagavad Saptaha. And they want to hear those stories. They want to fill in the gaps. They think Prabhupada left gaps for us to fill in. And Prabhupada is very heavy. Prabhupada says, do you think that the acharyas are rascal to give something to you to fill up gaps there? So this is a very dangerous tendency. Because what we are getting from there, we don't know. And that's why even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, in one of the shlokas, he warns us against this tendency. He says there, Elila Amrita Yara sama nahi ana yate kara sudru chite kari sudru dhave shwasa napada kutarka garte amedhya karkashavarte yate padi lehaya sarvanasha. Very strong warning. He says that this Leela is Amrut Sara. This Chaitanya Charitamrita Bhagavatam is Amrut Sara. And Yar Sam Nahi Ana. Better than this or equal to this, there is no other nectar in the whole world, in the whole creation. So learn this or hear this with Sudrud Vishwas. That our acharyas, this parampara, has given everything to us. There is nothing lacking. There is nothing lacking to be a good preacher. If you want to make a big crowd, that's a different thing. There are people who are making big, big crowds, but nobody is actually becoming devotee of Krishna. You want to become a show-off person, that's a different thing. But if you want to change the heart, transform the heart, then he says, na padine kutarka garte, amedhya karkash avarte. that don't get confused by kutarka, by useless arguments of people. They go into grammar of Sanskrit, that this, they do sandhi vichhed of each shloka, and they say, this word means these many things, this word means these many things, and everything gets confused. Krishna consciousness is very simple. What it is? We are in a jail, we have to break this jail, and go back home, back to Godhead, by consciously remembering the Supreme Lord and His great devotees. That's it. Simple. And whatever, who, about whomever we read and we study and we talk about throughout the day, we'll remember at the night. And their dreams we'll have in the night. Similarly, at the time of death, when we are going into a big dream, we'll have that dreams if we do this throughout our life. So simple. Why make it complicated? By kutarka garte amedhya karkashavarte yate hai sarvanash. If we go for this nectar hunting, we'll destroy our opportunity for going back home, back to Godhead, which we have really rarely got in this human birth. In this human birth, at least I have got it. Very, very, this is so precious. And if this also is given up, then as the shloka says, even the living entities, the immovable living entities will laugh at me. What have you done? We gave you such a great opportunity and you spoiled it. So this is a very strong warning. And lastly, I'll try to sing one song. It's a very beautiful song which summarizes this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Kabe habe bolo se din amar. The last part, and I'll try to explain that. It's so beautiful. It tells us what we have to do to become a good devotee and then a good preacher. A devotee is a preacher. Like Bhaktivedanta Saraswati said, an expert or a good bhajana, a good goshthanandi is one who is a good bhajanandi. One whose bhajan is good, his goshti will be good automatically. That's why Bhaktivedanta Saraswati gave initiation to Srila Prabhupada. Because Bhaktivedanta Saraswati said, he hears very nicely. So I'll give him initiation. Because then he can preach very nicely. And Bhaktivedanta Saraswati was a born preacher. He wanted preachers. So one who hears very nicely, one who does bhajan, which is shravanam kirtanam, then he preaches very nicely. It's an automatic outcome of that. So this says very nice, if you can repeat after me. Kabe habe bolo se dina amar. Kabe habe bolo se dina amar. Kabe habe bolo se dina amar. Kabe nityananda more kori doya chadaibe mora vishaira maya. Kabe nityananda more kori doya chadaibe mora vishaira maya. Diyane diya more neja charanera chaya. Diya more neja charanera chaya. Namera hate te dibe adhikara. Diya more neja charanera chaya. Namera hate te dibe adhikara. Kini bol tibo hari namarasa. Namarase mati hoi bobi basha. Kini bol tibo hari namarasa. Namarase mati hoi bobi basha. Rasera rasika charana parasha. Koriyamo jibo rase anibara. Rasera rasika charana parasha. Koriyamo jibo rase anibara. Kabe jibe doya hoi be udaya.
Nija sukha bhuli sudhi na hridaya kabe jive doya hoibe udaya Nija sukha bhuli sudhi na hridaya bhakati vinoda koriya vinoya Shri Agyata Hala Kori Beprachara Bhakati Vinoda Koriya Vinoya Shri Agyata Hala Kori Beprachara Tabe Habe Bolo Se Dinama.
So this is the key, that we have to take the shelter of Nityanand Prabhu. And who is Nityanand? He is Adi Guru. So we have to dive deep into the shelter of the whole Guru Parampara. That is what the first shloka says. And then what Nityanand Prabhu, with what desire we have to take shelter? That Chharaibo Mor Vishayar Maya. That he may vanquish the desire for sense enjoyment from my heart. Because we cannot become a preacher. We'll enjoy our senses by preaching also. If Nityanand Prabhu doesn't give mercy to us. And then it says, Diya More Nija, Charanera Chaya Namera Hatete Dibya Adhikara. Nam Hat, you know that. Nityanand Ram opened the school or the marketplace for preaching. And he can give us the entrance into it. So let us ask Nityanand Prabhu and his whole Guru Parampara, please be merciful. Unless and until you give me the qualification to preach, I won't be able to preach. And if I am not able to preach, by some means or the other, even assistance in preaching, which we do even by joining ISKCON, even by just sleeping in ISKCON, we assist in preaching. So, if you don't give me that opportunity, then how my life will be successful? And it says, Kinibo, this is very interesting, the qualification of a devotee or a preacher. Kinibo lutibo harinama rasa. That I will beg, borrow, steal, but I will drown myself into Harinam Ras. Namera Rase Mati Hoibo Vibhasha. And I'll drown myself so much that I'll go mad after Harinam Rase. But how I'll go mad? Rasera Rasika Charana Parasha. Those great devotees who have got already the taste of Harinam, they will give me that taste. Koriya Mojibo Rasyanibar. And they will pick me, or they will hold my neck, and they will drown me. By that, it's very interesting. Koriya Mojibo, they will drown me, Mojibo, into Namaras. Then I'll get, because I don't have qualification to drown myself. And Krishna is far away from me. Krishna, a contaminated person like me, cannot even approach Krishna, even the shadow of Krishna. So, kabe ni jibe daya, and then, automatically, once I am happy, then I'll want to see all my brothers happy. Once I have namaras, I will want to distribute it. So then, kabe nije doya, hoibe udaya, nije sukha bhuli sudina hirdaya. And when will I give up all my comfortable life, all my desire for living comfortably, and live only for one purpose, to bring the conditioned soul at the lotus feet of Nityanand Ram. Bhakati vinoda koriya vinoya, shri agyatahal koribe prachara. This is the only desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that please, let me patrol in the marketplace which you have opened on Nityanand Ram. So this is what the shloka is, what I understood from this shloka. It's pitfalls and preaching we have to do. I'll just summarize in 1 minute. We all want to do preaching, but we should be careful about getting attracted by the externals, by the name, fame, prestige, and we should actually prepare ourselves to become a preacher. Even if we are preaching already, we should keep preparing. That's what one time Prabhupada was standing near Radharani, and he was crying from the Vyasas, and he had just given Bhagavatam class, and he said, Maya cannot touch me. Maya cannot do any harm to me. And then after the class, he was crying before Radharani. And one disciple asked, Prabhupada, why are you crying? Prabhupada said, I'm asking for the protection of Radharani. So this is simultaneously a preacher. A preacher is constantly dependent on them. And then he is fearless. At the same time, he has fear. That's why he is dependent. But dependent, so he is fearless. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. If we have time, I think we can go till 9:05. If anybody has any corrections, questions, comments, anything, you can take this mic. Oh, there is the end. I'll count till 5, 1, or I'll chant Hare Krishna one time. Yes, bro. Okay, you can ask me. Yeah. Okay, Prabhuji is asking that, it's a simple question, that there are not stories in Bhagavatam. I said that, but Bhagavatam is full of stories. Yeah, I wanted to quote that shloka actually. But anyways, it's in the 12th canto, 3rd chapter, 14th or 24th shloka, I think. Where Shukdeva Goswami says, Katha imaste kathita mahiyasham vitaya lokeshu. Anyways, it says that, O vijnana vairagya vivakshataya vibho. Parikshit Maharaj, I told so many stories about so many big kings, that telling stories of big, big kings lends power and opulence to my words. Because people in general get attracted, like I was saying, material attracted. Oh, such a big king did that. Oh, such a big king did that. But that was not my main purpose, he says. He says, my main purpose was to emphasize on Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibho. That Vijnana and Vairagya, Vairagya and Vijnana, but this is only to attract you. This is one part of my answer. Second part of my answer is, actually if you go through Bhagavatam, 5th canto also, what I mean to say, there are stories, but there are no detailed description. Now, to emphasize that, I'll just give one example. In the 10th canto, where Prabhupada didn't write the purport, Prabhupada disciples wrote the purport, where Lord Krishna killed Shalya. Lord Krishna killed Shalya in Dwarka. And then Lord Krishna came to Mathura because Dantavakra attacked Mathura. After Shishupal and Shalya both were killed, they were his friend. So Dantavakra attacked Mathura to kill the Brajwasis because it was difficult to attack Krishna. So Krishna came here. Now Shukdev Goswami describes this in 2 shlokas and finishes. And then he came and he finished. But in the Prabhupada disciples explain in the purport that in the Vishnu Puran there are, I think, 2 or 3 chapters describing that pastime. The war between Dantavakra and Krishna went on for 21 days something. And each chapter describes that war, what they were taking and how they were killing. Is it? What I mean to say? So the details are not described. Immediately the point is mentioned. Siddhanta Baliya Chitta Nakara. Siddhanta, Siddhanta, Siddhanta. So that's what I mean. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.